smaller versions of larger ones. So they evolved and became larger and so on. And but they can now be measured in a different way. They can be measured with sophisticated genetic techniques. You heard in my lifetime, I forget when it was, but they completed the human genome, the human genome process, progress. Anyway, there's a P word there. What they did was they identified all, or at least most, of the genetic qualities of man. And in doing that, they are able to now start testing and checking what these genes do, how they affect us. But in that, they have the ability to go in there and look. So we'll talk about proteins and DNA, humans versus chimpanzees, just looking at this idea from the standpoint of how close are the genetic distances between these animals. So proteins, first of all. Genetic distances can be calculated by taking a specific protein and examining the sequence of its components. These components is what makes up the protein. We've been talking about that a bit, how that comes together and all this. But by seeing the sequence, the order of the components. So the way this works, the fewer changes needed to convert a protein of one organism into the corresponding protein of another organism, supposedly, the closer their relationship. So if one is going to evolve from the other, we should be able to see genetically that the order of this one that evolved into this one, these two orders of the protein should be very similar, this just a little more advanced. That's what we should see. These studies, however, seriously contradict the theory of evolution. Dr. Colin Patterson, Senior Principal Scientific Officer, that's quite a title, in the Paleontology Department at the British Museum of Natural History, gave a talk on November 5th, well, I forgot to get rid of that first 5th. They're talking British numbers, 5 November 1981. And he addressed leading evolutionists at the American Museum of Natural History. Patterson explained to a stunned audience that this new information doesn't help support, it contradicts the theory of evolution. In his words, quote, "The theory of evolution makes a prediction. Things should be this way. We've tested it, and the prediction is falsified precisely. What they said should be is clearly not. An early computer-based study of cytochrome C, a protein used in energy production, compared 47 different forms of life. This study found many contradictions with evolution based on this one protein." This will be the energy-producing one, so it would be very, very powerful in the theory of evolution. For example, according to evolution, the rattlesnake should have been most closely related to other reptiles. Makes sense, right? Evolution sense. Instead of these 47 forms, which was all that was sequenced at that time, all 47, the one most similar to the rattlesnake was man, confirming my suspicions about some of the people I've met. Since this study, experts have discovered hundreds of similar contradictions. So the theory of evolution just popped out the window, because study it from the actual things and not your theory, the actual genetics, and man is closer to the rattlesnake than other things. DNA and RNA, dinucleic acid, dioribonucleic, and then R is what? Ribonucleic acid, something like that. That's why we say DNA and RNA. Comparisons can also be made between the genetic material of different organisms. the list of organisms that have had all their genes sequenced, like man has now, and entered into databases such as GenBank, is doubling. The whole, how many of these organisms have the entire structure? Well, it's doubling every year. They're at work at it, building it up. We're getting a great bank of information available, computerized now. You can just put these things in and check it out. Computer comparisons of each gene with all the other genes in the database show too many genes that are completely unrelated to any other. You can't have that in evolution. Evolution has to be microstep by microstep. And so there can't be many, many, many genes that only show up here, see, in one place. Therefore, an evolutionary relationship between genes is highly unlikely. Furthermore, and this is, you know, the big sweep, you find it in all the biology books, there is no trace at the molecular level for the traditional evolutionary series. Simple sea life turns into fish, turns into amphibians, turns into reptiles, turns into mammals. Compare these genetically, and there is no relation. One does not produce the other. Let's look at humans versus chimpanzees. You've heard it said, I'm sure. Evolutionists say that the chimpanzee is the closest living relative to humans. Well, for two decades, 84 to 2004, evolutionists and the media claimed that human DNA is about 99% similar to chimpanzee DNA. And this is supposed to, of course, be the sum total of the science of evolution. However, these false statements had little scientific justification. If you said, why do you say that? They would say, well, the scientists have shown this to be true, and it's false. Little scientific justification because they were made before anyone had completed the sequencing of human DNA and long before the sequencing of chimpanzee DNA had begun. But it is done now. Chimpanzee and human DNA have now been completely sequenced and compared. The overall differences are far greater and far more complicated than evolutionists suspected. Funny how their theories never seem to pan out. Divergences include about 35 million single nucleotide changes, 35 million single, 5 million insertions or deletions, and various chromosomal rearrangements, meaning very, very different. Although that is only 4% of the DNA, a vast DNA chasm, great division, of critical differences separates humans from chimpanzees. Moreover, differences between the male portion of the human and chimpanzee sex chromosome are huge. This is how they develop, how they reproduce. That should be part of the evolutionary process. And if the one, chimpanzee, turns into the other, there in the sex chromosomes should be the closest relationship. This is the driving force of evolution. The fact is, they do not match. So more than 30% of those sequences in either the human or chimpanzee do not match the other at all. No match at all. And then those that do match at all contain massive rearrangements. They are not the same, even though they match duty for duty and sequence for sequence. They just are completely rearranged. So the genetic differences are comparable to those between non-sex chromosomes in chickens and humans. So this is saying that the relationship between chimpanzee and human is about the same as a chicken and human. And they don't talk much about, you know, our similarity to chickens. Not a visual thing that they want us to imagine. Also, humans shuffle male and female DNA to their offspring in different ways than chimpanzees. how the birth process works genetically is just very different from chimpanzees. So Adam Auton and others, a fine scale chimpanzee genetic map from population sequencing published in Science magazine, studying human and Western chimpanzees, we found no hotspot sharing between the two species. It came up empty. Yes?
If they had been similar, wouldn't they be taking, like, chimpanzee organs and put into...
Yeah, I think so. But we get more pig organs, don't we? Seems like. Again, confirming my suspicions of some people, I admit. Finally, evolutionary trees, this picture of how it developed, based on the outward appearances of organisms, can now be compared with the organism's genetic information, the actual facts. They conflict in major ways. This is not a proof of evolution. It is a proof that it doesn't work when you actually can find the facts. So, Karen, you got to stop preaching evolution. Just stop doing it.